Right. There we go. Right in the can. It's hard to believe it's already in the 7 o'clock hour. Maybe it's hard to believe, maybe it's not. It depends on what kind of day you've had. But welcome everyone to our Wednesday night prayer meeting service. And we're on a little bit on the slimmer side tonight. And I'm sure a few more will come on in just a minute, but hope everybody has had a good week so far this week, and we have had a good week, productive week, and staying busy and trying to get ahead all that we can. But I do want to dive right into our prayer list and updates, and we just received word maybe about an hour ago that Larry Bennett's brother passed away, Greg. And this was, of course, I can see it's a shocker to you guys. It's a shocker to me as well. I know he wasn't doing well, but the last report we got, he went home and they were getting ready to do some other testing. But Brother Larry is, last I heard, he was on his way to the hospital to wrap up things there. So let's remember Brother Larry and his mother Helen, and as they move forward with arrangements and all. Also, let's remember Miss BJ. Miss BJ is going to have knee replacement surgery on July the 12th. Is that right, Miss BJ? July the 12th. She going ahead and having that done. But from what I've heard with people who've had knee replacements, they're very thankful that they had it done. And I think the same day they're going to let you go home. And I believe it was that way with Brother Don, wasn't it? Yeah. So we will be praying for you and during this time and preparations for your surgery. I spoke with Brother Harold Dolph yesterday, and I don't know if anybody spoke with him lately, but I have to mention this, and really it's a prayer praise. Brother Harold was on his way. His daughter Allison was driving. They were on their way to physical therapy, and then he was coming on the way home. And a drunk driver hit them head on and totally just demolished both cars, airbags deployed. And the man who was drinking and driving who hit them got out and ran, and another man had chased them down and made the arrest when the police officers got there. But the praise is just a little bit, was beat up, very, very minimal, and no damage. They're okay. Didn't even have to go to hospital. And you just never know. Never know from one day to the next. But let's remember Brother Harold and his physical therapy. And he definitely wants to be here. And he said he's going to endeavor the very best he can to be here on our ordination night on July the 11th. And so let's just pray for him. Also, a good friend of mine, in fact, he's the first person I ever baptized. I got a text message from him this morning, and I'm not even sure if he's 30 years old yet, but I've been married for 4 years. I got a text from him this morning, and yesterday morning, his wife died in his arms. And I don't think she's 30 years old yet. She had a heart attack. And she was pregnant with her first baby. And his name is Alan Morgan. And this was someone that God allowed me to lead to the Lord and baptize when we lived at our previous house on Echo Ridge Drive here in Powder Springs. Devastated is an understatement, I'm sure. But just all kinds of things taking place. So let's please remember Alan Morgan and his family. And Let's continue to remember everyone on the prayer list. We're just going to go down and call out the names as we normally do, and then I'll open up the floor. But let's continue to remember the Busbys. I'm not sure. I'm thinking Miss Juliana is better. Okay, Miss Tammy says she's better, so thank you for that. And Christian's finger, do we know how that's doing? Anybody? It's better. It's better. But let's do remember our house parents and staff there at the children's home, and remember our children's home. James and Shirley Townsend, let's remember them. The Teagues, Miss Connie is having surgery on July the 28th, and that's going to be, again, a doubleheader. That's going to be two surgeries at one time, Miss Connie Teague. Don Daly, Trell Norton, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, the Tidwells, Ben's mother, she has fibrosis. I got a good report from Ben, though. Ben said that he got a job. And so praise the Lord for Ben getting a job. And and so he's excited about starting a new job. But we'll remember the Tidwells, Larry Rich, Cassie Kronovich, the Palmers, Leonard and Dolores, Claude, David and Glenda's friend, Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, Ceylon and Catherine, his boss that has cancer, Miss Claudia Darby, Don Capistrano, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Randy and Diane Ely, her brother that has cancer, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, and James Tolan Brown, which is in the services, and also Peyton Cochran is another from the home that joined the Navy. And so we're proud of them. Also, let's remember to those who were interested in playing board games and having a nice meal this Saturday here in the Fellowship Hall at 1 o'clock will be the game day, and the potluck lunch. So remember that. That is the 26th, this Saturday, in the Fellowship Hall. And then, of course, this coming Sunday night is our outside fellowship. And then in looking into July, July the 11th will be at 5 o'clock, the deacon ordination service. And so let's just all be mindful of these things. And does someone have a prayer request tonight or update or anything like that you want to make mention of? Anybody at all? Brother David? Okay, absolutely. Let's remember Brother David tonight in our prayers. Anybody else? I tell you, let's pray for our service on Sunday morning. We had an entire family in the back right this past Sunday morning. Large family. They actually looked like a missionary family. And we were able to talk just a few seconds to them and catch them at the door before they left, and pray that they come back. And I had a good crowd this past Sunday morning. Good crowd. Great service. Great service. And our ladies singing group, they did outstanding. And so I told Christy, I said, that'll be the first service of the rest of our services here until Jesus comes. We're going to build off that good service we had. And we appreciate God showing up to us here. Anybody else before we pray?
I'll just say this much. I know prayer is working in my home because my mom's visit has been much better than it was when she was here.
Good.
She's still a handful. She's still giving me a hard time, but I'm not in tears every night and I'm not stressed out.
So. That's awesome. That's good. Appreciate that. Appreciate that update. You're welcome. And again, I just ask you to remember Christy tonight. She's working late. There was a turnover in leadership, new boss. And, I guess one of the rules is, or one of the things is when it comes to leadership, at least in the church, don't know about the business world, but, don't go in there and try to change the whole culture of the place on your first your first day, second day. I guess it is different in the business world. It's dog eat dog, but she's at home tonight, and she's still plugging numbers and typing and returning emails and not complaining, just explaining what's going on. So, all right. If that's all we have, anybody else? I'm going to leave anybody out. Okay. Well, normally on Wednesdays, we all meet in the altar, and so if you desire to do that, meet us here in the altar. We'll have a time of silent prayer together, and then we will come back and bring the message for tonight. And I just want to thank those on Facebook who are watching this evening. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19 for a few moments. Luke chapter number 19. We're actually going to branch out from the thought that we had last Wednesday night when we talked about sharing Jesus with others. And we are going to stay in that vein, but yet we're going to just branch out just a little, and we're going to speak along some of those same lines. We're actually going to use one specific person in the Bible who God changed their life, and that was the man Zacchaeus, the man Zacchaeus. And one of the purposes for looking into Zacchaeus' life is just to be reminded of how God can change lives, how that He can save anyone and really, really, really change their pursuits, how He can give us the ability to overcome and have victory. And those are just a few things that we see in the life of Zacchaeus. And so tonight, for just a few moments, we're going to talk about when Zacchaeus met Jesus. When Zacchaeus met Jesus. And again, I want us to see, want us to just look into his life and see how the Lord changed it. And hopefully it will light or at least build the flame that we have in our hearts for others to get saved. And at the same time, us that are already saved, I hope that the message, the lesson tonight will encourage us of what God can do from day to day. And so some things that happened when Zacchaeus met Jesus. Let's read. Begin reading in verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 19. Luke 19 verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to stop reading there in verse number 10. And that's reading Luke chapter 19, verse number 1 down through verse number 10. And again, this is just an example tonight of one that that the Lord got a hold of and changed their life. And we're going to look into some of the characteristics about Zacchaeus. We're going to look at the person Zacchaeus was. We're going to look at the pursuit Zacchaeus gave, the proof Zacchaeus showed, and then the persistence of Zacchaeus to overcome. So I hope there's a little bit in here for everybody tonight. Number one, in verse number 1 through 3, we see the person Zacchaeus was. The person that he was. Now, in verse number 2, I want you to notice where he says, And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Number one, the person that Zacchaeus was, he was a tax collector. But more than that, he was the chief tax collector. And this is how this little man Zacchaeus made his living. Not only by being a tax collector, collecting the taxes that the government wanted him to, but actually Zacchaeus went a little beyond that with fraudulent activity. And many believe this is how he was rich, because he was a crooked tax collector. So he was the chief tax collector. He probably had people working under him, Zacchaeus, being the chief at being a tax collector. And so all the people that was working under him that were being tax collectors, Zacchaeus probably made some gain off that. He probably lined his pockets a little bit. And so therefore he became rich. The person Zacchaeus was, he was a chief tax collector. The Bible again says in verse 2, And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So we see that he was chief tax collector. And let me just say about tax collectors and being a Jew living where Zacchaeus lived, that tax collectors were despised by their fellow Jews. I said that a moment ago in so many words, but they were despised, tax collectors were. Often they collected more than the government required. And so there was this fraudulent kind of activity being this tax collector. He was lining his pockets to be because of his position. And we see that in our day, don't we? Those who are in upper management, those who are, like we say sometimes, the big wigs, those who are in the workplace, those in corporate America, not all of them, I wouldn't dare say that, but some of them we see on the news all the time, just lining their pockets and using their position for wealth and for gain. And this is the kind of man that we see that Zacchaeus was before he met Jesus. He being this chief tax collector and collecting more possibly than the government required. And so number one, that's what he was. Zacchaeus was chief tax collector. But number two, as we just mentioned, he was rich. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." So we said that he probably got rich off of his position, gaining more money than the government required. And so he was a rich man, Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. But then, in verse number 3, the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was a little man. Notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." He was little of stature. Now, I don't know if Zacchaeus was a dwarf. I don't know if he had dwarfism. And I think the appropriate word or the medical term would be achondroplasia. I think that's what the medical term is being a little person born into this world. And listen, there are derogatory terms that people use against little people. And just like every race, there's a derogatory term that's used. But the right term would be little person. And dwarfism or achondroplasia is what little people have, and they only grow so tall. And so we don't know if that's exactly the kind of person Zacchaeus was. We don't know if he was a little man like this. You know, we don't know if he was, you know, kind of like this. We don't know. We just know that he was little in stature. He had matured in his frame, and he was fully grown, but yet he was a little man. And so we see tonight that he was a little man, and he was this chief tax collector, and he was rich. I can't help to think about a certain movie star when I think about these characteristics. And in a certain movie, I won't name the movie, not a bad movie, but I just want to emphasize this movie star. The man, Danny DeVito. Has anybody ever heard of Danny DeVito? When I think of these descriptions, this little man and tax collector and being rich, I think of Danny DeVito, this little guy that was in all these movies and all the roles that he played. I don't know. That's just what I was thinking. But tonight we see that Zacchaeus had these kind of characteristics in his life. At least this is who he was and this is what he did. But I want to move a step further, and I want you to notice this. Not only the person Zacchaeus was, but number two, the pursuit Zacchaeus gave. Now, in verse number 3, notice with me, he says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." Look in verse 4. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him." And so there was this sense of urgency. This man, Zacchaeus, he had a sense of urgency. He was wanting to see Jesus, and he couldn't see him because of the press. And he himself being a little man, but also he actually ran. Can you imagine that? This little man just trying to press in and see Jesus, And he had this sense of urgency. Perhaps he heard who Jesus was, and I don't know all the detail, but certainly he heard who Jesus was, and he was passing by, and this little man running everywhere trying to see Jesus, and he's, you know, climbing up this tree, kind of comical if you look at it in your mind. He's this little man trying to get a visual on Christ. So we see that there was a sense of urgency. Verse 4, and he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. There was the pursuit Zacchaeus gave. He wanted to see Jesus. Let me say that here we are reminded that there is, listen to this, there is an action we must take for salvation. We do have some part in salvation. Now, let me say this. While we are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8, we must accept what's being offered to us. We know that tonight. We know that. Jesus doesn't twist any arms. He doesn't, we're not robots. He doesn't make us get saved. The gospel message goes out, and then we must respond to it. And so the pursuit Zacchaeus gave, he sought to see Jesus. He ran before him and climbed up into the tree. So this is Zacchaeus' action. This is his effort to see the Savior. And while we're saved by grace through faith, we know that we must accept what's being offered. Listen to this verse here, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And so we see that we have some kind of part in salvation. And that is when Jesus is knocking and wanting to come in, we simply answer the door. We say, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I know you died upon the cross. You were buried in 3 days. You rose again. Lord, I know I'm going to hell apart from your plan of salvation. Father, I ask you to save me. I repent of my sin, and I turn to you in faith and embrace the cross. And so there is a part that we must act in when it comes to salvation. Now, let me say this, that November 19th, 2002, that's when I got saved. And I can remember days leading up to that. I know now it was conviction. I know now it was the Lord. He was after me. He was showing me there's a better way. He was showing me he has a plan for my life. It was just getting me to that point of saying yes to Jesus. And that night in the gym there, Smyrna, Georgia, me and Lily just passed by it yesterday, coming back from the chiropractor. And it was fall time. It was probably in the evening, I remember. And I remember my brother told me about the Lord. And I've heard about the Lord before. But it was on that night where I said yes to Jesus. And that mindset I was in at that particular time in my life, I was 20 years old. I'm about to be 40. Well, April next year, I'll be 40. But at that particular mindset in my life, I had tried all the drugs that you could try just about, minus shooting up anything. I tried the nightlife. I tried alcohol. I tried, again, drugs. I tried all of those things. High school dropout, trying to fulfill that emptiness, that empty void on the inside, and nothing ever worked. And about a week up till my salvation experience, one of my good friends went to prison. Another one died. Going to a funeral service with marijuana in my pocket and feeling lost and undone, that was me. But then on that particular night, November 19th, 2002, is when my brother said, Justin, you have to be born again to go to heaven or you will die and go to hell. And that night I said yes to Jesus. And so going on 20 years ago, my life has never been the same. And I wish I'm more faithful than I am to the Lord as He is to me. But it's all part of the learning process, isn't it? It's all part of that learning curve we're on. But I said that to say this, that we do have a part on the forefront of salvation, and that is we have to respond. We have to answer the door if he's knocking. And based upon your testimonies of salvation, you know what I'm talking about. We're all saved in here if your testimony is true. And so maybe we're talking to those who are watching on Facebook, or who knows, maybe somebody may be in here tonight that's not saved. You have a part in it as well. You must say yes. Now, let me say this. Unbelief and resistance to the gospel will cause a person to ignore and not open the door of their heart and let Jesus in. Matthew 12, 31 deals with that. Deals with that sinning against the Holy Ghost and turning this kind of hardened heart to him and not accepting him. So we see that there is unbelief and resistance. Jesus comes knocking on your door and mine. We can't ignore it. We can. Matthew 22 verse 14 says this. Listen to this. For many are called, but few are chosen. Somebody said one time, Brother Justin, explain that to me. Many are called, but few are chosen. Does that mean Jesus didn't choose everyone? I said, look at it this way. Many are called, but few are chosen. Those that are chosen are those that answer the call. God is not willing that any perish, but all should come to repentance. And he has called everyone to salvation, but everyone is not answering that call to salvation. And so tonight, those that are chosen are those who answer the call. Jesus tonight is calling all of our number. If we're saved, then he's calling us for service. Some kind of area of servitude in place of resting as a church home. That's what the Lord is doing. He is ringing our phone. He is knocking on our door. And the question is tonight, will we answer it, whatever the situation may be? So we see all these things here. And Zacchaeus, he was in pursuit. What would have happened if Zacchaeus said, you know what, this crowd is just too big and I'm just too small, and so I'm just going back to my tax collecting desk? He may not have gotten saved. His life may have never changed, but he pursued. And tonight, if there is any part we have in it in salvation, it's actually just saying yes to the Son of God. Now, let me mention a third thing. Not only the person Zacchaeus was, the pursuit Zacchaeus gave, but in verse number 5, we see the proof Zacchaeus showed. Notice in verse number 5 something. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And what I mean when I say we see in this verse the proof that Zacchaeus showed was that Jesus will be found if we seek him out. Zacchaeus was seeking out the Son of God. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Tonight there is prayer request after prayer request. And we'll always have prayer requests till we go to the grave or Jesus comes. But I am totally convinced when it comes to praying in our personal prayer lives, is that if we need an answer, God will give us an answer. If it's either, like some people have said before, I kind of tend to say it myself, it's either yes, no, not right now. Yes, no, not right now. But he is always answering prayer. It's sometimes we walk away from our prayer closet or our time in prayer or our situation in life and it hasn't gone the way we wanted it to go. Our life isn't going the way we want it to go. He didn't speak to us in our prayer time the way we thought he ought to. We go back to our daily living and the burden's still there, the pain's still there, or we're still stuck in a position. Listen, whatever the situation may be, He is always answering our prayer. If you're praying about something and you're wanting a yes, the best advice I could give is go into your prayer time with an open heart. Because it just may not be a yes today. But He is always answering prayer. Matthew 7 and verse number 7. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Doesn't say when. Doesn't say any definites outside of if you knock and you ask and seek, you'll find. But it may be a different kind of answer than you're looking for. The proof Zacchaeus showed, he proved through himself seeking the Lord that the Lord can be found. Again, verse 5, listen to this. "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him," he got his attention, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." He sought him out, and Jesus saw him and talked to him. The Lord is always answering prayer. Just be open-minded. Don't box the Lord in. Just know that He is a faithful God, and He is one who is providential, and He is always, at all time, working in our life. Tonight, the prayer request I shared with you, and I was actually talking to Lily about it, because this certain prayer request, she knew the individual. But Alan, the one I led to the Lord and the one that I baptized, and how that barely 4 years into his marriage, and wakes up one morning with his wife in his arms and she's died. She has went on to be with the Lord, massive heart attack, and to have a baby too. Man. I said, you know, Lily and I were just talking on the way to church. I said, "Lily, this is one of those things I just don't have an answer for, honey." I said, "If I had an answer for everything, then you could just, you know, individuals who claim that have answers for everything, that they're actually putting themselves on the same level of God. Because there's just sometimes we don't have answers for everything, but God knows what He's up to. God knows. And we just don't have answers. Sometimes I told her, I said, the best thing to do in a situation like this is just tell them you love them. Is try to just hug their necks and tell them you love them. Don't tell them in that particular moment. Although it's true, don't tell them in that particular moment. Well, God's going to bring something good out of this. Now listen, that's true. But you don't tell a person who just lost their wife and baby, you pat them on the back and say, God's going to bring some glory out of this. God just needed another couple angels in heaven. Don't say that, please, please. I'm again, preaching to the choir tonight, and we just don't say that. Sometimes, although it's true, you wait for the appropriate time. People just need someone to love on them when they're hurting like that. So we just don't know the deep things of God. Those things are in His mind, in His heart, but yet Jesus promises that He will be found if we seek Him out. He will answer us. He will show us the path of life, and He will continue to be the faithful Father that He is. The proof Zacchaeus showed, the Lord spoke with him after He sought him out. Let me mention one more thing, and I want to spend the rest of the time on this last one. It's the persistence of Zacchaeus to overcome. Notice in verse number 3, we're going to read verse 3 down through verse number 5. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Skip over to verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, I said the persistence of Zacchaeus to overcome. Zacchaeus was a little man. He was short in stature. If you didn't hear anything tonight, hear this. This is to those who are saved. Zacchaeus was short, and there was a crowd which hindered him to see Jesus. If Zacchaeus would have stayed where he was, behind the crowd, blocking the view from seeing Jesus, if he would have stayed in that position, he wouldn't have seen Jesus. He wouldn't have gotten saved. Salvation would not have came to his house if he would have stayed. You see, there was a barrier in the life of Zacchaeus. His stature. He was short. Let me read you what Matthew chapter 6 verse 27 says about stature. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubic unto his stature? Of course, that's a rhetorical question, meaning that there's no response necessary. It speaks for itself. Nobody can add to their stature. Now, we can add to our width, and we can make it wide or narrow, but we can't do this. Zacchaeus, he did not want his height to define who he was. He was not going to stay with this barrier in his life. I got to thinking today, what kind of barriers are blocking us from experiencing Jesus in all of his fullness tonight? What is it in my life that I'm just accepting? Well, it just can't happen. Well, I'll never be this. I'll never be that. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. I got this thing going on in my life. And because of that, I'll never experience the Lord like I want to. What kind of barriers do you have in your life? Zacchaeus said, you know what? I may be short and I may not be able to add to my stature, but I want to see Jesus. And he went around the crowd, he climbed the sycamore tree, and he saw the Lord. Is it a friend in your life that is blocking your relationship from the Lord? I don't know. Is it finances? Is it something that has to do with the flesh? Is it something going on in your life? Those watching on Facebook tonight, what kind of barriers are blocking us from experiencing Jesus? Well, I have a list of barriers in my life. I'm not a perfect man. There's things that the Lord showed me just from the life of Zacchaeus. How this wee little man did not want to stay where he was at. Did not allow his stature to defeat who he was and experiencing Jesus. And so he just ran around. He put in a little effort. He started climbing them branches. You know, and look, you can use your imagination. I don't know if there was a bee's nest in that tree. I don't know what in the world. I don't know if there was snakes in that around that tree. I don't know, but you can imagine at some of the difficulties that he had. He had to get beyond the negatives in his life. We are challenged and confronted with so much negativity every day of our life, aren't we? I mean, there are things we're dealing with that has happened that we want to undo. There are places, and there are places where in our life where we want to grow and mature, no matter what age you are. I mean, I want to see this church grow, and And I want to see more people come in and things like that. And last Sunday morning, hey, we had a lot of people. In my estimation, we had at least 75 here last Sunday. And so all of these things. So what am I going to do? Am I going to say, well, it just can't happen here at Calvary? Am I going to say that? Am I going to say, well, I'm not like how Ben Turner was, and I'm not like how Brother Snyder was, and I'll never be like those men. Well, guess what? I'm not called, respectfully, I'm not called to be like those men. I'm called to be like me. And so tonight, the question is, when it comes to Calvary, can God bless this church again? And I say, yes, He can. He can bless this church. But we have to get beyond these barriers. Which of you, by taking one thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Matthew 6:27. Let me ask this question. Which of you can change something in your life that has been permanently done? And the answer to that is, none of us can. It may not be a stature problem. It just may be something so deep, so real, that it has life to it, and we've allowed it to cut us, we've allowed it to discourage us. So, which of you can change an impossible situation? None of us can, but God can. God can. We see that Zacchaeus, let's just read these verses again, verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. What made Jesus look up? I mean, was it his peripheral vision where he looked up? May have been. Or did Jesus know he was there? Could Jesus, although he was in a crowd, could Jesus detect real virtue? Could he detect real faith? I believe it's the second. It's not necessarily he's seen of his peripheral vision. I believe that in the midst of all of those people in that crowd, he knew there was somebody outside the crowd who was exercising real faith. And because of that, he said, hold on, crowd. Yeah, I know about this. I know about that. I know. Hold on just a second. Zacchaeus, come on down from there. Folks, tonight, I believe that God notices real faith. He notices. In fact, in one or two, I believe it is, the Gospels, there's the account of the man being lifted through the temple who was sick, and he near death, and his friends did that, and he said, when Jesus saw their faith, there's other times in Scripture in the Gospels where Jesus was, he was stopped in his traveling when there was a need, a problem going on, and it stopped Jesus in his tracks. Tonight, Jesus is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows when one of his children are hurting. But also he knows when real faith has been displayed. And tonight he knew that Zacchaeus was up there. Don't ever think tonight, do not ever think that God is so busy with all these others that he doesn't know about you. And that your faith is not valuable to him. Because tonight it is. The persistence of Zacchaeus to overcome. He got over that barrier and he saw Jesus, and Jesus saw him. The person Zacchaeus was, tax collector, rich, little of stature. The pursuit Zacchaeus gave, he went after him. The proof Zacchaeus showed, you can find him if you seek him. Tonight, again, that was just a branch out from what we shared last week on sharing Jesus with others. And just wanted to take a little look tonight into the life of Zacchaeus and how that his life changed. And tonight I believe that we may be saved, and have that assurance. But there's those barriers that also can be broken down if we'll just let God do so. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. We thank you for who you are and for the things that you do. Lord, take this little lesson tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it. I'm thankful, Lord, of my time with you today and how you spoke to me. I pray that someone else benefits from it. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Go with us now. Keep us all safe and bring us back to church on Sunday safely. And be with all the sick and all the afflicted. But we do praise you for all the good things we've heard tonight and the good praise reports. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we close out?